My senior year of college, there was a little country church in Waller, Texas, which is about halfway between Houston and College Station. And they were without a preacher. And so for a year, Melissa and I would go on Sunday morning and I'd preach for them, and we'd spend the afternoon with one of the families, and then I'd preach that night and we'd go back home. And just about every Sunday afternoon, we ate with one of the older couples of the church, and she would fill the table with all kinds of good food like I've enjoyed in your company this week. And Brother Lawrence was the patriarch. He sat at the head of the table. And after we finished eating, every Sunday afternoon, he'd lean back in his chair and he'd put his hands on his stomach and he'd say, "That was so good, I wish we were just starting." Well, I wish we were just starting our mini meeting. These go by quick, don't they? And I want you to know what great hospitality you've given to this Texas preacher and what wonderful memories I'll take home with me from being in your company. Brother Lawrence and Sister Jean have both passed away now, and I thought at both of their funerals that when we've been in heaven for 10,000 years, we'll just be getting started. And it'll be a wonderful reunion. And I look forward to seeing you, if not on this side, then certainly there. But thank you so much for the great encouragement you've given to me. And may the Lord continue to bless and keep this work as you labor in the gospel, in the kingdom. Our final apostle tonight will be found in Luke chapter 6 as we think about who will follow Jesus. And I want to read a passage that we read together on the Lord's Day, the very first lesson. And hopefully it means a little more to you this time than when we read it together on Sunday as you think about Jesus calling them one by one. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. "And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Thomas, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who is called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor." You'll remember that we already said that each time the apostles are listed, though there's some variation in the order, the first and last are always the same. Peter's always listed first, and then Judas is always listed last, and it each time has a description of what he did. This time, who became a traitor. And I think for us, the shock value has worn off. I mean, we've known that, we've learned that, we sang the song as kids, 12 apostles Judas made, Jesus was by him betrayed. But I want to remind you what an astounding thing that would have been to the first century reader. You mean one of the 12 that Jesus chose betrayed him? He was a traitor? Now, some people will explain that away by saying that Judas was simply a pawn in a chess game between God and Satan. That since Jesus knew from the beginning who would betray him, that Judas had no choice but to do what he did. Kind of like Jesus was choosing his apostles among the disciples and said, okay, I need four fishermen. I'll get Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And I need a tax collector. I'll get Matthew over there. I need a zealot. I'll choose Simon. And then a traitor. Let's see. I need a traitor. Who would be a good traitor? Well, just because God knows what will happen, does that remove our free will? I especially want you to notice, and the reason we read from Luke is because he uses the word Judas became a traitor. Did you notice that? Wouldn't that indicate that he was not a traitor when he was brought on board? That just like the man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, Genesis 2:24. That through a process, Judas became a traitor. And that serves as a warning for Jesus' disciples today. And what I want you to see tonight is that if it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. If it can happen to one who is so closely associated with the Lord, what does that say about those of us thousands of years removed? Who will follow Jesus, watchful for his cause? If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. Four things quickly tonight as we close. Number one, it can happen to someone who's a follower of Jesus. And remember, that's what Judas was. He was a disciple. He had answered the call, come and follow me. And Judas had left everything behind to follow Jesus. In fact, you might could make the argument that Judas gave up more than any of the others. They were all Galileans, fishermen. But Judas' name, the reason he's called Judas Iscariot, that means man of Kirioth. And according to the book of Judges, Joshua chapter 15 and verse 25, Kirioth was a city apportioned to the tribe of Judah. And so Judas was from Judea. He could have been a rising star among the Jewish people. But he left all that to follow Jesus. And he followed him closely. He would have been with those. Look ahead to Luke chapter 9 in verse 1. He would have been among those that when he called, Luke 9 and verse 1, called the 12 together, and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. So do you see that at first Judas was working against the devil, casting out the demons? He had power and authority to do that. He was preaching the kingdom of God. Peter would even say in Acts chapter 1, when he summarized what happened to Judas, he said he was counted among us. He was one of the 12. And if it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. The apostles trusted Judas with the money box. Remember, we're told that he was the treasurer of the 12. I mean, they sure weren't going to give it to Matthew, the tax collector. But they were not suspicious of Judas. It can happen to someone who's a close follower of Jesus. Be careful when we conclude that just because we're plugged in to this work, and you might even be a leader or a participant in the leading of the worship service. You might be a teacher Or you might have been a Christian a long time and we become insulated and think, I would never forsake the Lord. I remember being with a group of preachers, and it was mostly young preachers, so this was a while ago because I was there. And this older preacher had come to talk with us about the work of preaching. And he was counseling us about things that involved the day-to-day work. And part of it was not putting yourself in a situation where you'd be studying alone with a woman. One of the young guys raised his hand and said, "Sir, brother, I love my wife. And I would never cheat on her." He said, "Son, there's not a man who's ever committed adultery who hadn't said the same thing you just did." What happened? We thought, I'd never do that. I can never sin that way. If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to a disciple of Jesus, a close follower of the Lord, who will follow Jesus and continue to be watchful for his cause. Number two, it can happen to someone who is surrounded by good influences. In other words, who even has the very best environment and has all the advantages that come with that, that person can still become a traitor. Now, Judas had the seat that all of us would be envious for. You ever thought about, I wish I could see Jesus do this, or I wish I could have been there when he did this? Well, Judas was. He actually was in the boat when Jesus calmed the sea with just peace be still. Judas was there. Judas was one of the ones helping to pass out the 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the multitudes and got to carry one of the 12 baskets left over. He was an eyewitness. That means he heard with his own ears the Sermon on the Mount, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Judas was there. And it can happen to someone surrounded by such good influences. You ever heard the saying, never meet your heroes? The idea being maybe it's a sports star or a music celebrity or somebody who's in the public eye, and the only time you've had any kind of relationship with them is either through the television or on stage or on the ball field. And so you've never personally interacted with them, but you've placed them on a pretty high pedestal. And then you see them up close, and they're either dismissive of you, they don't have time for you, or you see them as they truly are, and you're just so disappointed. I want you to remember that Judas saw Jesus in front of the crowd. He saw him one-on-one, and he was exactly the same. And Judas knew he's a righteous man. And still, Judas became a traitor. Sometimes parents, when their children leave home and leave the Lord, will wonder things like, where'd we go wrong? The members of the church will think, what more could we have done? Or maybe, what shouldn't I have said? But remember, this is free will. And even somebody who had the best circumstances and the most righteous environment, still chose to go his own way. And so somebody could have the best parents and be in the best church and have the best elders and preachers and Bible class teachers and still choose to go their own way. If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. Who's going to be watchful? See, we got to choose to follow Jesus. And then we got to choose of our own will to be watchful. Judas became a traitor. Number three, it can happen to someone who doesn't guard their heart. So Solomon says in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, to keep your heart above all else, because he said, from it flows the issues of life, the springs of life, all begin in the heart. And so he said, you've got to keep it. You have to protect it. You have to guard your heart. So let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And start reading at verse 1. Luke 22 and verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. So the enemies of Jesus are trying to find a way, apart from the crowds, to put Jesus to death. They know they can't just come and take him while he's teaching because a riot would start. Verse 3, and Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. And he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the multitude. So I want you to see, first of all, that it wasn't like they backed Judas into a corner and said, you're going to hand Jesus over to us or we're going to kill your family. You're going to do what we say or we're going to bring harm to you. No, it was Judas who reached out and started the process. And you say, well, see there, it says Satan entered his heart in verse 3. He didn't have a choice about that. Well, does that also then mean that when Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block to me, you're setting your mind on man's interests and not on God's? Was Peter without choice there? Or was he just carrying out the purposes of the devil, trying to thwart God's plan of redemption by keeping Jesus from going to the cross? The reason that Satan was able to enter Judas is because he didn't guard his heart. He let him get too close. And by betraying Jesus, he was carrying out the purposes of the devil. And they agreed on a price. See, Judas would know when Jesus would be at leisure and where they could find him. And for 30 pieces of silver, he said, I'll hand him over to you. So in the law of Moses, you might have a cross-reference here to Exodus 21 and verse 34. 30 pieces of silver was the price that you paid someone if your ox gored their slave. So the Son of God was sold out for the price of a gored slave. And you say, how cheap is that? Is it any more than when we give up Jesus to tell a lie? When we give up Jesus for pornography? When we give up Jesus for a night of drinking? When we give him up for anger, laziness? If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. He didn't guard his heart. Don't let the devil get too close. You ever noticed in those times where fireworks are legally sold, so usually around the 4th of July, New Year's Day, there's still laws, I'm assuming it's the same here in Tennessee, I don't know, but in Texas, they're just, you have to be outside the city limits to sell them. And so there'll be a city limit. You're leaving the city limit sign, and then where do you think the fireworks stand is? I mean, right there. Reminds me of a time where those two twin boys I was telling you about wanted me to take them to see the baptistry, which at the Southside building, you have to go up this flight of stairs, and then there's a platform, and then the stairs that go down into the water. And so in the middle of this platform is a drain, in case the baptistry ever overflows. And I said, okay, y'all can go, don't go past the drain. And somebody called to me on down the stairs, and I turned to say something to them, and I turned around. Where do you think those boys' feet were? I mean, they were right on the drain. We want to get as close as we can. Judas was a lover of money, we are told. He used to pilfer the money box. And he saw an opportunity to sell Jesus for money. It can happen to Judas. It can happen to us. Do you remember what Jesus told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? Each time he came back and he found them sleeping. And he would say, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. And he'd go pray again and come back, and they'd be asleep. So when the officers came, Jesus was ready. He'd been watching and praying. Those who were sleeping were the ones who fled. Guard your heart. Stay on the alert. Keep persevering. We've not reached the goal yet. Be watchful. Who will follow Jesus? Watchful for his cause. And then number four, it can happen to someone who gives up on the grace of God. So Judas gave up Jesus, and then he just gave up. So go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. This is after Judas has handed Jesus over. So he knew that Jesus liked to go to the Garden of Gethsemane at night. And sure enough, after the Passover, they went to the garden. And they came and arrested Jesus, Judas identifying him by kissing him on the cheek. And then Jesus was led away to trial. So in verse 3 of Matthew 27, then when Judas, who had betrayed him, see how they keep saying that and say, you're not going to believe this, that's what happened, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to that yourself. Well, what do you think happened here? Said when Judas saw that Jesus had been condemned, that is, Pilate had sentenced him to death. At that moment, he felt remorse. Well, I can think of three possibilities. One, he had seen, and the gospel writers tell of instances where Jesus was being pressed around by his enemies and then either works his way through the crowd or gets out of it and the crowd disperses. And so it could be that Judas thought, I'll betray him, get the money, and then Jesus will do that again. He'll disappear and not be harmed. And so that could be why he felt remorse when the death sentence was given. Second, he knew Jesus was innocent. And so perhaps he thought Jesus would be tried, but then Pilate would say, this is an innocent man, he does not deserve death, I'm going to set him free. And so maybe Judas thought, I'll get the money, but Jesus will be set free. And so now that he's been condemned, he feels remorse. Or a third option is that Judas, remember, from Judea, would have been among those looking for a different kind of king and kingdom. One who was going to come and set up his throne on the earth and rule from Jerusalem and overthrow this pagan government that's oppressing God's people in the promised land. And maybe if I set things in motion, that'll trigger Jesus and the army will come and the kingdom will be established here on the earth. And now he realizes Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. That's not the kind of king he came to be. And so he felt remorse. He tried to give the money back. All of a sudden, it didn't mean anything to him anymore. But for whatever reason, his remorse did not lead him to repentance. Look back at how the chapter before ends with Peter in verse 75. Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, before a cock crows, you will deny me three times. And that's just happened. And so what was Peter's response? He went out and wept bitterly. Whereas Judas in chapter 27 went out and hanged himself. Have you ever thought how differently the book of Acts and the early church would have been written if Judas had just waited 3 days? Just 3 days. And then Jesus is alive. And if Jesus can conquer death and be resurrected, he can redeem me. He can resurrect me from my spiritual death. Just 3 days. But he gave up. He gave up Jesus. And then he gave up. And if it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. And you might be thinking right now, well, you don't know what I've done. Jesus does. He knows. And he's ready to forgive, to restore, to make us useful in His kingdom. Isn't that the essence of discipleship? When He called Peter or Simon, He said, "You are Simon, you shall be Peter." And He takes us and says, "You are weak, you shall be strong. You are sinful, you shall be forgiven. You are useless, I will make you useful." Look to Luke chapter 22 at the conversation Jesus and Peter had about His denial. Luke chapter 22. And notice the words Jesus uses here to comfort Peter. Luke 22 and verse 31. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter, remember, was the one who boasted he would die for Jesus. He'd go to prison and to death. And Jesus said, "Satan's after you, Peter. You better watch out. He wants to grind you up like wheat. But I have prayed for you." Can you imagine Jesus, the Son of God, saying your name before the Father's throne? "I have prayed for you." And you, once you have turned again, once you come back, once you decide, strengthen your brothers. The one who went out and wept bitterly came back and preached the first gospel sermon. Took the gospel to the Gentiles. Wrote two epistles that are preserved for us, that continue to encourage us that the lion is out there seeking whom he may devour, but that will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He went out and wept bitterly. Judas went out and hanged himself. He gave up on the grace of God. Oh, if he had just waited 3 days. Who will follow Jesus? Watchful for his counsel. Remember, if it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. Nobody's ever called me by my real name, Gerald Edward Garner. I never thought it fit me. You say, "Bubba doesn't either," and that's right. But you know, I always hated the first day of school because the teacher would always say, "I'm going to call the roll, and if you go by a different name, you let me know so I can write that in the book." And she'd come to Gerald Garner, and I'd have to raise my hand and say, "Bubba," and everybody would laugh. But you know, there is coming a day when the books will be opened and the roll's going to be called. And I honestly don't care what name is written in that book. If God should decide to say, "Well done, Gerald," or "Well done, Bubba," I just want him to know my name. I want him to know who I am, because remember what the alternative is. Depart. I never knew you. He's going to call us one by one. And I can't say to you that your service in the kingdom will result in people studying about you the way we've studied about the 12 apostles this week. And their names are inscribed on the foundation stones of that city. I just want my name in the book. Who will follow Jesus and be his disciple? Who will leave everything behind and attach yourself to Jesus? Remember, he's the way, the truth, and the life. You can come and confess your faith in him and be baptized. You can make the decision to come out of the world and leave behind all those things that have kept you from him and be faithful and watchful for his cause. If we can assist you tonight, let us know right now while we stand up and while we sing.